Only take care that lest this liberty of yours somehow becomes a stumbling block to the weak. 1 Corinthians 8:9. Dear God, help us to read your scriptures with care and perception. Help us to see how this might be lived out in our lives today. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It would be very easy to preach on the first reading today from Deuteronomy 18. How we can hear from the Lord, sometimes from unexpected people. But it's even more pressing for us to understand and apply the second reading today from 1 Corinthians 8. It can appear to be a very strange reading to us, as Paul writes about animal sacrifices and idol worship and practice of eating at that time. And if we're careless, we might think that this passage, 1 Corinthians 8, has nothing to say to us today. But it's just the opposite. Paul is patiently teaching a wonderful theological truth and a wonderful pastoral truth. He is teaching about God and how we are to care for each other. That's very relevant to us today. Particularly for younger listeners, we might not appreciate how much our culture in Canada has changed in the past couple of generations. We take it pretty much for granted these days, for example, that the government has a strong role in providing care for people in need, like those affected by the current pandemic. But that's a relatively recent point of view. When the Great Depression hit the world in 1928-29, federal governments did virtually nothing for humanitarian relief and did not significantly change their economic policies for years. In the not too distant past, it was widely assumed among Canadians that sex was only to be expressed within marriage, a lifelong marriage between a man and a woman. My grandparents would be astonished to learn of the relative infrequency of marriage within the Canadian population today, or that same-gender couples can get married by the state, and in many local churches as well. There's been a profound revolution in Canadians' views about sex in the past half century or so. To take one more example, my grandparents, and my parents as well, assumed, without a great deal of thought, that Canada was at its healthiest when most of its citizens were Christians. The Christian worldview was thought to be more loving, truthful and merciful view of spiritual reality than other religions, or for those with no religious convictions at all. In the past few decades, most Canadians have gone through a seismic change in our perceptions. There have been huge changes in how we view the world. Many Canadians doubt or don't live out the idea that there is objective truth and falsehood, which God alone perfectly knows and which he reveals to those of us who have ears to hear. Many Canadians happily live by a creed that we should just all get along, try not to hurt others, and that there is no objective truth. Canadian rock superstar Alanis Morissette included these lyrics, full of contradictions, in her 1995 12 times platinum song, Hand in My Pocket. She writes, I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. I'm sad, but I'm laughing. I'm brave, but I'm chicken, word like manure. I'm sick, but I'm pretty, baby. So we see there have been enormous changes in our culture. Generally, from a move that there is a single objective, right and wrong, to a very broad tolerance of all kinds of contradictory views, all bound up together. We might be forgiven for thinking that the cultures before us, there was always objective right and wrong, and it's all changed today. But that was not the case at all. In fact, outside of Jewish Palestine, other ancient cultures had points of view very much like many Canadians today, that there are all kinds of right and wrong views, all mixed together. The gospel of Jesus Christ transformed this worldview within a handful of decades. But it was into this confused culture that there was this little Christian congregation in the Greek city of Corinth. To understand today's second reading, we need to begin by remembering that the Christian congregation was within a wider culture with all kinds of views about right and wrong, truth and falsehood. The Roman occupiers didn't mind if you worship more than one god. You could worship all kinds of gods, and many people did. In contrast, though, Paul states very clearly in today's reading that there is only one true God who has created all things and to whom we owe our highest allegiance. Verse 6. So here's the theological truth that Paul insists on, as did the Jews and all the Christians. There is only one true God. This was in sharp contrast to the anything goes worldviews around them. But there's something else to know about worship in the ancient world. Many people believed that they pleased their small g gods by sacrificing animals to them. There were altars all over the city where animals were sacrificed. Then people would go to the local gathering place and eat the leftover food, which had previously been offered in idol worship. Why let good food go to waste? Now here's the problem which the Christian Corinthians faced. You could get a really good deal on buying this leftover food in the marketplace. And Christians knew that idols have no real existence. Who doesn't want to save a few bucks on their grocery bills? Why don't the Christians buy and eat some of this leftover food, which had been offered to idols? But there's a problem. When we go grocery shopping, there's a pretty good chance we'll bump into somebody we know. And if they know we're Christians, and if they see us eating this meat, which had previously been offered in idol worship, they could easily think we're just faking it as Christians. It was understandable that in that ancient culture, people would think that the meat buyers were pretending to be Christians, worshipping only one God, while in reality they were happily participating in the cultural rituals around the worship of many gods. What to do? Should the Christians carry on, knowing they themselves weren't at all involved with idols and sacrifices? Or should Christians refrain from buying this meat because it could cause offense, either to other Christians or to non-Christians who we would like to introduce to the Lord Jesus? There was a split in the Corinthian congregation. Go ahead, eat the leftovers. No, don't do it. Paul has to walk carefully here. He's already challenged the congregation about their internal divisions, and some church members are already irked at Paul. So Paul doesn't want to make a rule. Instead, Paul tries to get the Corinthians to think through what happens if they behave this way. We all agree theologically there is only one God. Do we need to be considerate of the perceptions of others? Paul suggests that while Christians can eat whatever we want, as Jesus taught, Mark 7:19, we can still refrain from eating some things because it might be hurtful to others. It might be legal, but it might not be advisable. Here is an example from today. Christians believe that alcohol is not forbidden. It can be purchased legally from government outlets around the city, and many Christians do drink alcohol in moderation. Although we believe also that drinking to excess does not honor God. However, there are some people who have a genetic predisposition to drinking in excess. Drinking at all can easily lead them to the addiction of alcohol, to alcoholism. And it can be more tempting for some people to drink when they're in the company of other people who are drinking alcohol. So what do we do? We know it's legal. But if we're in the company of friends where drinking alcohol puts them in a difficult position, we can choose to refrain from drinking because we are considerate of our friends. 1 Corinthians 8 can seem like an old problem, but it's a very modern one as well. We need to stand firm against the pressures of our wider culture, which are against God. And although so much is permitted in the Christian life, it's appropriate that we be considerate of others. This can lead us to restraint, to abstain from doing something, even if we know it's lawful and not a personal problem. God, give us the grace to stand firm for Him and also to be loving and considerate of others. Amen.